Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The 20th Annual Community Response to Child Abuse Conference is being held virtually this year. It takes place this Wednesday and Thursday. The conference is designed to provide professional training and educational opportunities for medical professionals, educators, school officials, dentists, law enforcement officers, social workers, mental health providers, youth service providers, the legal community, and other community members and child advocates. Internationally acclaimed speaker and best-selling author DJ Vanis is one of the keynote speakers, and the title of his address is Calling All Warriors, Serving with Strength in Turbulent Times. That happens virtually this Thursday from 11:45 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. Central Time. And we welcome DJ Vanis to In the Moment today. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about what the word warrior means. When we talk about calling all warriors, that, you know, you're a veteran of the United States military. You're a member of the Ottawa tribe. Is that, do I have that correct?
Yeah, correct.
So what does warrior mean to you, and how do you explain that warrior spirit to other people?
I know, that is such a loaded word, isn't it? There's a lot of emotions attached to the word warrior. And the angle I come from is what it means in our tribal communities. I'm an enrolled member of the Ottawa tribe from Michigan. I'm also a proud veteran, ex-military officer. I was in the Air Force. I was in uniform for 14 years, separated as a captain to do this type of work full time. But, you know, when we talk about the word warrior in a media kind of defined image, we typically see the action movie hero. You know, that smashing buildings and shooting 8 million bullets and occasionally shooting brooding glances at the camera, all in the name of glory. And what we define our warriors as in our tribal communities is very different. My people, we call our warriors Ogeechee Da, and that term has nothing to do with what we see on TV or in movies. It goes back to using our creator-given talents and abilities to become an asset or a benefit to the tribe that we served. And today, whether that tribe is your own family, your community, your organization, your state, the United States, the planet, we get to define what that tribe is. And so this concept goes beyond race, gender, age, and is there for anybody willing to walk it. But it is a role that is firmly rooted and always has been in service to others. It was somebody who was willing to fight for something bigger than their own personal welfare, somebody who led by example, and somebody who had a mentality of, it's not what I can get, it's what I can do for someone else.
So talk a little bit about then how you develop that, because it is very personal as far as what your skills and abilities or what your gifts or where you're sort of drawn to do. Can anyone do, anything in service to others? Then tell me just a little bit about how you kind of invite people to explore their own lives and how they can be of service in that way.
Yeah, great question, Lori. It's really important to take a personal assessment of what we have is our gifts, our talents, our abilities. We all have power. You know, how we use that in the world defines our legacy in the service we provide others and the impact we have in other people's lives. And so that's the first step in doing that is, number one, you know, actually wanting to walk that path and be of service. I mean, I think that's why we're here. If we're not here to serve, why are we here at all? And so the next step is to really take an assessment. What do we have to work with? Our talent, our ability, our experience, our natural leanings, the talents and abilities that other people have identified, where they tell us, you know, you're really good at this, or this is great, or you should do something with this. And, you know, we typically go, oh, yeah, kind of blow it off. Maybe that's a sign that we should take those things more seriously, because that is part of our gift set. And I believe in thinking, you know, and I share this with the people I work with, is to think tribal centrically. I've worked with 496 tribal nations in the last 25 years, and every one of them used what was in their own backyard to create success. Used the natural materials, the landscape, the power of their people to not just survive, but thrive. Whether it was in the Arctic, where it's, you know, 40 below zero and 60 mile an hour winds, or down in the swamps of Florida, or in the mountains, or in the desert, And I love that concept because it always comes back to what do we have right now in us and around us to create what we want to see in service. And when we really take a good look at that, we find we've got more than we need.
I want to go back to something you said just a couple minutes ago, and that was, you know, that sometimes we sort of blow, you know, somebody says, oh, you're so good at this, and we kind of blow it off like that part is nothing. Why do we do that? why do we do it repetitively?
So yeah. We are so good at focusing on what we lack that we don't spend nearly enough time on the other side of the fence focusing on what we're good at, what we have, what we could use in this moment to impact somebody else's life in a good way. And I think it goes back to human nature. I mean, we're much more critical with ourselves than we ever should be. It's not motivating. You know, I've been doing this work for 25 years, and if that worked, I would promote it as a model. But I found it hard to motivate or uplift anybody by pointing out all the things that they lack. I'm a strength-based approach type of person, always have been. And I think when we pour fuel on the fire that's already been created with our natural talent set and our abilities and our experience, that's where we can really start to see where our true impact can be. So I just think it's human nature. We tend to focus too much on that.
Yeah. Some of the people that you're speaking to at this keynote address, when we, you know, pretty long list there, but, you know, you think of teachers and law enforcement officers and medical professionals, mental health providers, child advocates. These are people who've had a rough year in 2020. You know, when you look at some of these professions, they have been essential. They have been asked to do the same thing that they have always done, except triple the amount of workload and do it in situations that are at risk to their personal health, that can be incredibly stressful. They can take a great amount of pressure publicly for doing their jobs. Tell me about when you speak to groups of people who you know have been battered by what's happening in their lives right now. How do you help provide for those providers?
Sure. Yeah, another great question. And those folks that you just listed, they have it tough when we don't have a pandemic, you know, when we don't have economic turmoil. These folks are the tip of the spear in the community, and their jobs are tough. And I love working with these groups because a big part of what I do, like you said, with providing for the providers is to show strategies on how to stay resilient, how to stay uplifted. And a big component of that is self-care. It is more needed now than ever because we need warriors in our communities, not martyrs. You know, warriors are able to sustain themselves and keep and stay engaged in fighting the good fight and keep their strength and their resilience. Martyrs just go till the wheels fall off. And we see that all too often, and it's been like that lately because some of these folks, you know, they have big hearts, they're willing to serve, they understand this concept very well, but when it comes to their roster of care, sometimes they're not even on it. And I always ask those folks, how good can you be at what you do? How can you deliver great service if you're falling apart? And make sure that they understand, you know, taking care of themselves is not selfish. It's the highest form of care they can provide other people. And we have to make that a priority. We have to. There's just forget intentions. We are out of alignment when we're not taking care of ourselves. We can't deliver the goods. And that's, by the way, Lori, the other side of the warrior concept that we don't talk about very much. Is we over-romanticize sometimes that warrior role. We know that there's someone who's willing to fight for something bigger than self and lead by example and be courageous in the face of fear. But what we don't talk about is the fact that our warriors were not bulletproof. You know, they weren't this bright, shiny image. We make it almost unattainable. And we don't talk about the fact that our warriors dealt with pain, fear. They made mistakes. They stumbled. They needed outside resources. They needed help at times. And the big takeaway there is they never fought alone. And I tell especially service providers, if you're doing this by yourself, you're doing it wrong. You know, I was taught we were social creatures by design. We're a lot more like ants and bees than we are like eagles. I was taught that, you know, through traditional ways. We're much better when we're with the right people, and we're stronger, we're smarter, and we're much more resilient. And that's needed now more than ever.
I was looking through your website and, you know, you know, taking notes on things that you say now. And earlier today, I just, you're incredibly quotable. You know, there's like everything saying like, oh, okay. I want to remember that. Oh, I want to remember that. And I want to know, like, that clearly comes from you, or here's what I think. It comes from you thinking deeply about this, living what you say. You know, you don't have to check your notes to think about what you want to say to people. And do you have a story about how you have doubted? Like, do you forget who you are? Do you get knocked off your beam a little bit and then have to remind yourself too? Tell us about that.
Yes. I'm on the human journey with everybody else listening, you know, dealing with the same challenges, the same fears, the same doubts. But, you know, I go back to, you know, one of the things in this warrior spirit, you know, in these principles, goes back to a toy I remember when I was a kid. And maybe some people remember Weeble Wobbles. I don't know if people remember those little egg-shaped things. And I had all the Weeble Wobble swag, the treehouse and the airplane. But they had a tagline that said, you can knock them over, but they don't fall down.
Right.
And one of the things that is so critical is to have strategies and kind of a game plan in place so that we have the get back to center type of strategy in place and we can do it quickly. And that comes from the habits and practices that we follow on a daily basis. It comes from self-care. That is a critical component, how we take care of ourselves, how we treat ourselves, how we eat, how we sleep. Who we surround ourselves with, you know, having our network to lean on in times of strife or in times of crisis to get support. And then having those elements that keep us growing. That's an important part of building the right environment, too. What challenges us? What gets us excited? What are we adding into our toolkit as far as knowledge and wisdom as we go forward? Because we need to have a growth mindset, especially when we're dealing with so many setbacks and limitations like we are right now. It's medicine for us when we do that. So, yeah, I deal with all the same stuff, but I have strategies in place to get me back to right when I feel like I'm stumbling.
It seems like more than ever, you know, I hear from listeners that this year is you know, it's a clarifying year for them. In a best case scenario, some people are making massive life changes because they have to, and sometimes because they want to. And then other people are just in, you know, this survival mode and realizing that what is being asked of them is impossible. So if you're the single mother who is not homeschooling, but, you know, is dealing with a child who's learning remotely and you're trying to keep your job and your health insurance, we could go with 100 different scenarios of people who are really being asked to do things that can't be done and are coming to the awareness that, that the situation is, you know, desperate and trying to avoid despair. If you are at the point where you just feel like, I don't have time to take care of my, I mean, that's a ridiculous thing that self-care would matter because I have to hustle from, you know, morning until night. Can you hustle and take care of yourself for the long term to survive that hustle at the same time? Because sometimes I think we just get the idea that, you know, I gotta go lay down for a week. Of course I can't do that. Right.
Bills to pay, mouths to feed. I get it. There's a couple of great things. I mean, that's the reality of the situation for so many people. I mean, these are desperate times for so many families, so many people that are in some really tough situations. And sometimes, you know, something has to give. We have to be able to say, it's not just what we say yes to that gives us clarity and power on our journey. It's what to say no to, or not now to. And we have to get a priority list in, you know, very clear in our minds because we can't do it all. That's the reality of the, you know, life. We can't do it all and we can't do it all today. And what we need to do is take a very clear eyed assessment of what we need to get done and what we have to do it with. You know, again, taking a real clear assessment of our resources. What can I do in this moment? Because if we start getting outside of that bubble of what we can do, we start getting lost in the chaos. And that's when the stress starts to build and we start to fall apart. And self-care has got to be part of it, Lori, because I know the argument. I've heard it for two decades. I grew up with parents that even had that mentality. Well, I'll get to it later. I'll take care of myself later. You know, and meanwhile, the wheels are falling off. And what I go back to is asking the question when people say it's not realistic to take care of myself right now, I'm too busy. And then my question immediately, you know, to add on to that is how realistic is it to give 100% of what you can do or to deliver any result if you're laying in a hospital bed with a stress-related illness? You know, and that's the reality is we can go until we can't go anymore. And then what happens is those folks end up beating themselves up. You know, it adds, you know, insult on top of injury, where then they're frustrated on why they got there, why they got to that place. Because I don't care how strong you are emotionally, physically, spiritually, or mentally, if you keep going and going and going and going and you never put anything back to replenish, you are going to hit a point where you can't go anymore. It's just a matter of time. So self-care has got to be involved in that. And it's small things. It doesn't need to be, you know, a week's vacation. Small things like a few moments of deep breathing. Making sure that you're getting enough sleep. That's free. You don't have to do paperwork for that one. Making sure you're staying hydrated, making sure that you're reading things that inspire you, that you're talking to friends and family and you're staying connected. There's little things that we can do that don't take much time, but they have a huge impact in the way that we feel and the way that we perform.
Well, you can learn more about DJ Vanas by going to his website at nativediscovery.com. He has a book called The Tiny Warrior you might want to check out. And, of course, he's doing this keynote speech at the 20th Annual Community Response to Child Abuse Conference, and that happens Thursday at 11:45 Central virtually. DJ Vanas, such a pleasure to get to know you a little bit and to know your work. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lori. I appreciate you having me.